Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you serious?
Hello, welcome to How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. We're about to be joined by our guest, Rick Edwards. Find out what made him say this.
What the f- Are you mad? Are people doing that?
Yeah, man.
No. No.
Yep.
But you can't. That doesn't make any... No, absolutely. I'm not having it.
Before we crack on with that, though, I want to make sure that you hit subscribe and like our podcast. Drop a comment about us. It really helps us to get to more ears. Thank you very much. Anyway, we're about to be joined by broadcaster, presenter, writer, podcaster, Rick Edwards. This is what happened when he caught up with myself. Producer Billy does make a small cameo appearance in the How to Kill an Hour studios. It's kind of interesting asking you what you've been up to recently, and your missus is kind of good at keeping us updated with stuff. So I kind of got to ask you, how's the DIY going in the bottom floor of your house or the basement of your house, it looks like, maybe?
Yeah. To be fair, it's less DIY and more pay a geezer to do it. And it's going, A, quite slowly, and B, very expensively, which I think is just the, that's just how it is, right? I can't be surprised about that.
If it wasn't going like that, then it wouldn't be a real building job.
Right. Yeah, so we are... I think we're 5 months over what it should have been. So I've been out of my house now for 10 months, which is lovely. and we've just gone through the double what was quoted barrier, which is a big moment, actually. I got a few balloons out and streamers. So that's really happy. Yes. Call up the bank. So I'm going to need to borrow a bit more money.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
So what, you like getting the whole gaff done, or are you doing a bit of the gaff?
Do you know what? I thought we were just getting a bit of it done, but it turns out we're getting the whole thing done. And it's just it's such a cliche, isn't it? Just everything, they call up and they're like, bit of a problem with this. We're probably going to have to, this is going to have to be replaced. This is going to have to be replaced. This is going to be replaced. And I'm like, and this is all free, is it? And they're like, not really, no. So it's happening. But I think within 2 weeks, we might be back in. I'm quite excited about that.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see. In 4 weeks, I'll give you a shout and see if you're any closer to getting in the house.
Yeah.
But at least you've done it all, because I've got a mate who's forever doing a bit of his house.
Yeah.
So that when he's finally done his whole house once over, he has to start again at, say, the living room again.
Yeah, I think you just have to say, all right, let's get it all done. Because bit by bit, also you just don't want to... It's just a nightmare when there's people in there just like painting and stuff, and you're trying to live. It's horrible.
Yeah.
That said, we are in a very, very small flat at the minute. And, I mean, as soon as I leave, every time I can hear Ema just sort of breathe a sigh of relief. It's like, God, he's out.
Yeah, he's out. There's space to breathe.
Yeah.
I can sit down now on the one chair. But are you writing the book as you're in this sort of makeshift, or when I say not permanent flat, it seems quite permanent for the last 10 months.
It's more permanent than I thought it was going to be. I am writing a book. I've only just started the book. I should have started it a while ago, because I've got to hand the first draft in 9 weeks, which is, it's tight. It's going to be tight.
Is that uni pressure that you got on you, bruv?
Do you know what, though? I had assumed that like homework feeling would leave when you were an adult, and it doesn't. Everything I ever do still feels like homework, and I just like put it off, and then when it really gets to crunch time, and you're like, ugh,
yeah.
Then you just start pulling all-nighters. That's how I'm going to write the book. I know it's how I've written the two previous books. It's never going to change.
So if the last couple of chapters don't make full sense, it's because you're like 15 Red Bulls in.
That's exactly right.
30 yeah. espressos
and,
in.
And I think people, you know, people are fine with it, aren't they? People get it. It's a nightmare. It's too many words.
Yeah. So this is another science-ish book then,
This is another science-ish book. This one's themed quite cheerily around death. So all of the ways that you can die in the films. And specifically looking at, well, not only, but like existential level threats. So things that would just wipe us out totally. So it's really, I mean, it's cheery stuff. It's going to be a like, great, great gift for a loved one. I'm saying.
So it's all of the ways that we can die as a human race in a disaster scenario. Is that what it is? So it's not like specific sort of...
There's a bit of specific, but it's generally... So it's things like, are we going to get wiped out by a viral pandemic? Like you see in sort of Contagion and things like that. And the answer is, worryingly, yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm going to write more than that, but that's the
point. I mean, it's a short book, does the job.
But I've only got 9 weeks to do it, so it's got to be pithy. So, yeah, it's that kind of thing. And, you know, whether we could get knocked out by an asteroid strike like the dinosaurs again, yes, possibly. How close we are to nuclear Armageddon, which, in fairness, nuclear Armageddon gets quite a bad rep, but nuclear Armageddon wouldn't knock us all out. It would reduce the, like, even if it knocked out 99% of the population of Earth, the sort of 100 million remaining would be all right. We keep going. But we're looking at the really the big ones where you think, actually, we couldn't recover from that at all, and that would be it.
So you're talking proper extinction-level events.
Extinction-level events, yeah. Really Busta Rhymes in it.
So, sick album. So,
great album.
Dope album. Like with scientists, I feel like we should wheel it back a bit first because, like you said, this series and this book. So, scientists started off as a podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so a few years ago, my mate actually sort of was setting up a kind of podcast platform, built himself a little studio over in East London. He knew that I wanted to do science stuff, and he put me with his mate I'd also met, who's a serious science writer, very clever man, doctor of quantum physics, Michael Brooks, and said, you two should do something. And we came up with this idea, did it, and we've done a lot of episodes now, and I love it. It's really good fun. The principle, it started as looking at the science in fiction, and now we've broadened it out a bit to any kind of scientific angle on popular culture, which I think works quite well, because not sure that people would 100% listen to just a straight science podcast if they weren't super science geeks anyway. Mm. So by giving them something to kind of latch onto, here's a film that you've watched or whatever, that kind of sucks them in. And actually, a lot of films and books and what have you do make people have conversations about science. They just wouldn't necessarily think, oh, we're having a conversation about science now. Like, you come out of, you know, Ex Machina or whatever, and you think to yourself, so was that robot conscious? How would I treat that robot? And these are all like big kind of ethical questions that scientists wrestle with in their field. So yeah, I think it works. It's not really for me to say, but I think it works quite nicely. And we've written, we wrote a book 18 months ago that did well enough that the publisher has said, write another one, which is encouraging. And also, I think that it made me realize that publishing is very much good news for the publisher, and not such great news financially for the people who are writing it. Because, I mean, I've seen nothing really. I mean, it's like and this is just like a hobby, is it? Okay, cool.
So it's like that record deal. You're like, oh wow, so that was the revenue, and they're like, yeah. So, but when we take away publishing costs, my fee, there's tax, and then there's the advertising. You see the bottom line, you're like, oh.
And you go, oh, so hang on, I owe you money.
Yeah,
oh.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me write a book.
Yeah, okay. I'll write you a check. Yeah. I'll take the payment plan if that's all right, monthly. Thank you very much. But you are enjoying it, though. I feel like, and to be fair, the first season, to go back to what you said, like the first season felt like it was very much about film.
Yeah.
And then I feel like you've kind of, like you said, you've opened things up as you've gone across.
Yeah,
season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Are you still going to kind of theme in certain areas then? Because like the book's kind of, like you said, very...
Yeah,
full of death.
Yeah, the book is absolutely ram with death. no, I think we just, all we really do, like genuinely, me and Michael just text each other just shit about like fun science stuff that we've read. And that kind of gives us the ideas of what we want to talk about on the next podcast. And so we look for ways into what we want to talk about via whatever. And sometimes, I'll be honest, it's quite crowbarred. So you'll just be like, what's that really about the film Ants? And you go, yeah, broadly speaking it was, because we wanted to talk about hierarchies.
But we said the word ant in it a few times, right? So there we go.
I think we didn't say it as much as you might imagine.
Does Michael realise how funny he is sometimes? Because you're like, you know, comedy background, you're a presenter, you know, you can throw a few giggles in there, it's funny. Does he realise how funny he is by accident? Like, for example, when you're talking about volcanoes on an episode a little while back, and then I think it's Dante's Peak. He's talking about a volcano destroying a city, and he said something along the lines like, oh, great job. Good work. Yeah. And you were like, does he realise that he says the maddest stuff sometimes? A volcano's destroying a city. He's like, yeah, good job, Dad. Well done.
I will give him some credit and say, yes, he is at least aware 50% of the time, I'd say. But like his fate, honestly, he's quite a pure scientist, and at times I think scientists forget about the kind of the human angle, and they're just so when he's talking about a volcano like knocking out a city, he's just like, great volcano, what a volcano that is. You're like, hold on, Brooksy. But also his absolute favourite thing is doing experiments on babies. He thinks the neatest way of doing an experiment to tell you stuff about humanity is if you had an island, isolated island, and just dumped a load of babies on it, and then you could kind of experiment on them at will. And he says this stuff, and the first time he said it, he definitely wasn't joking, and now it's like become a joke. But the first time he said it, he was like, that would be a really good idea. And I'm like, all right.
He's the sort of guy that does not deserve to win the lottery, because that is unlimited funding for his own things.
Yeah. And he's going to be buying up babies.
Because I've got a little island, you know, call it a holiday, I've got babysitting camps out. Fucking hell. So wait, put babies on an island and just do little experiments to see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens. Bit of fun, isn't it?
Bit of a laugh. This is a bit of a hard question for you, because I can just hear it in your voice. You're having fun when you're making the episodes. You really enjoy what you're doing. Like, what are some of the episodes that really stand out to you? Because I'm going to reel off a few that stand out to me afterwards as well. But what really was like, I had fun doing that.
Genuinely, all of them. Yeah. But the ones that have really stuck with me, I think, were The Matrix, when we first talked in detail about the simulation argument. Because I hadn't really, I was dimly aware of the simulation argument, this kind of thing that Elon Musk talks about a bit, that actually we might just be living in a sophisticated computer simulation. And you kind of just go, that's bollocks, isn't it? You just go, I've just got a sense that isn't true. And then you read about it, and it's worryingly compelling. And I got, you just have sort of, like an existential crisis, where you're just like, oh, God, yeah, that does seem plausible. What's the point? And so there was a real, just sort of quite bleak few weeks when I just wandered around just thinking, well, I don't know, I might just be a bit of code. Ugh, what a waste. So that hit me pretty hard. But, in a good way. Also, we did an episode on children and men, all about the sort of fertility crisis that the race is facing, and me and my missus started talking about kids, and I just had a real panic. I was like, I need to go and get tested, I need to go and see what's going on down there. And then the other one actually that really had probably the single biggest impact is we did one I thought was just going to be a bit of sort of nonsense on the Day of the Triffids, talking about whether plants are smart or not, and I mean, it's mind-blowing. Like, plants are doing stuff that you don't know about. Plants apparently can sort of process information without a brain. Plants have memory. Plants have analogs of all of our senses. They just move very slowly. And so we kind of think that means that they're just inert sort of and have no cognitive power at all. Well, that and the fact they don't have a brain. And it's just not true. And I just didn't know that. I was absolutely and still am gobsmacked. And now I look at plants very, very differently. There's plants who are doing arithmetic. Imagine that. Just doing sums.
I'm going to be honest. I miss this episode. I'm going to fucking listen to this after we watch. What the fuck? There are plants that are doing sums. Give us a little bit more, please.
So, if you're... imagine you're a plant for a moment.
All right.
And you're getting your food from the sun. And so during the daytime, that's all well and good. But you don't really sleep as a plant. So in the nighttime, you need to be able to keep on doing all of your living processes. And therefore, you need some energy. So you have, during the day, you've not used all of the food that you've made from your sunlight. You've stored a bit of starch. Now, it's quite important that when you are then using that stored starch through the night, that you don't use it up at the wrong rate. Because if you use it up too quickly, then you're going to get to the middle of the night and then have nothing left.
Yeah.
And if you don't use it up quickly enough, then you're going to end up with a surplus, and that's no good. It's just not efficient. And so what you have to do is you have to do a calculation as the plant of what rate do I need to be using this starch at. And the only way you can do that is by saying, how much starch do I have and how long until the sun comes up? And you divide the two quantities. And that's how you do it. And they do it every time. And if you change, so in like lab conditions, if you change the onset of night, so you bring night in a bit earlier, they will adjust their rate. If you bring it in later, they'll adjust their rate. So they are making that calculation. They're not thinking about it, because they don't have a brain.
Yeah.
But they are performing that calculation and nailing it every time.
So to be fair, they're doing better than said humans with the brain. Like, as an ex-fat person, like, I still struggle knowing the right amount of food to eat now,
yeah,
and not wake up hungry in the middle of the night, or if I eat too much, we can go the other way. I fucking feel like all night long. Do you know what I mean? But a plant can just say,
yeah, a plant, you know, manages its diet very nicely. How fat were you?
What do you want it? The measurement or the in terms of weight or in terms of...
I sort of want it all, really. I want to get a good picture.
I was 22 stone.
Unit. But yeah, I mean, you're tall.
Big lad.
So you carry it all right.
Yeah, you know, I think that was the downfall, because I didn't realise until I got to a point where people... Well, I looked at a picture of myself and I was like, okay, I'm looking a bit round there, mate. And then I got on the scales and I was like, whoa, stop spinning. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then
22 is...
I think that's pretty big. I wasn't the biggest person alive.
No, but, of course not.
Yeah, man, things like snoring, sleep apnea and that. And then just, you know, it's a long story, you know, but kind of chisels it off.
But here you are now, looking great.
Looking fantabulous. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, biggest guy in the world is... his name's Pedro.
And how big is he?
I don't want to disrespect him. No, it can't be right. The figure I'm remembering can't be right.
Just saying.
I want to say he's 50 stone, but you can't be 50 stone, can you? That can't be right. He's definitely called Pedro. He's in the Guinness Book of...
Shall I have a quick... Yeah, is go on.
Have a look. Like, it's, you know...
Pedro.
He looks as you expect.
Man, wait.
There's a nice photo of him playing the guitar. Have you got him?
It's not coming up. Internet's... It's not playing with me. Pedro. Oh, the world's most obese man is trying to lose weight. Here we go. Juan Pedro Franco, 33, 93 stone.
No, he's not. Although, actually, look, there he is on his guitar.
93 stone.
Look at that.
Wow.
He actually genuinely looks happy there, though.
Playing, he is happy as Larry.
Playing Wonderwall or something.
with an oxygen tank. Yeah, that's...
Oxygen tank's a shame. I think that's when you know you've got problems, isn't it? Where you're like,
yeah,
man. I think I'm too fat. I have to have oxygen.
I mean,
all times.
He's enjoyed some good meals. He's enjoyed some good food out there. Shout out to Pedro, but 90 fucking free stone.
Do you know what I mean? You're only 22. You could have kept on eating.
Should have had a large ship. Fuck it. Should have carried on. Where were we? Science-ish. So,
We're just talking about plants.
Yeah, plants
don't get fat.
Plants. There's not going to be a plant called Pedro.
No. And plants aren't going to be playing the guitar. But plants can hear.
What?
Plants can hear. So if you play, there's a couple of nice things actually. If you play the sound of a caterpillar munching near a plant, it will respond in the way that it would if a caterpillar was about to attack it. So it will produce toxins or make the kind of surface of its leaves less digestible immediately, because they can hear it. They've got these little mechanoreceptors that, I mean, obviously they're not ears, but they act the same. Similarly, if there's a, I can't remember what the flower is, but there's a flower that if it hears bees nearby, it starts making its nectar sweeter. So 20% sweeter. It's like, come hither. Yeah, I've got something for you, bee. Yeah, they're really amazing. They're, I mean, I love it. And also there's carnivorous plants, obviously, which are cool. And it's a there's a big old pitcher plant that, well, this is what Ema tweeted about the other day, can eat rats.
That
don't
is,
expect that, do you?
So a plant can actually eat rats out there.
Yeah.
It's impressive. That's very impressive.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to hear more of that, obviously check out the podcast.
Check out the book.
Check out the book as well. That is really fucking throwing me, because I feel like the only thing that we have over plants is a little bit of speed. So if they can move a bit quicker, if there's some sort of random freak accident where there is a really quick plant, day of the Triffids.
Triffids, exactly.
Yeah, and there's a meteorite that blinds us all, we're actually finished.
Yeah. I mean, I think, to be honest, if there's a meteorite that blinds us all, we've got problems, whatever. But if that happens, it's a real coincidence, an unfortunate coincidence, when the Triffids are roaming around, we're also all blind.
Are you aware that you've become that guy at the dinner table now that just fires out
millions of you can do this all night? Yeah, I could. I have to try not to, because I think it's annoying, isn't it?
There's nothing worse at the dinner table than someone talking shit about the same shit, but I feel like you've got loads
of
facts.
I've got
a
diversity of shit. Yeah.
I've got
all sorts.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
Just opening up the coat. Yeah.
I've got an armory, mate. What do you want? Anything that you can't talk, that you couldn't talk about on the pod, anything that you brought to the table and you were just like, they were like, no,
actually,
we can't do this. Or are they pretty liberal with you?
The only thing that that has been shelved, and I think probably correctly, is we thought it'd be funny to do a special on incest and release it on Valentine's Day, which I think is like, that's good.
Oh, April Fools. That would have been great, man.
We were going to do it and we just couldn't get
enough incest.
There wasn't enough incest out there. It's a crying shame. We couldn't get an expert to talk to us. So
I mean, we tried.
We really did.
Yeah.
But no, so we didn't do that. And that's the only one I can think of that we haven't managed to.
Should just given the royal family a shout.
Pull off. Yeah, they're well into it, aren't they? They love it.
Yeah, would have been.
I don't know if they're so big on podcasts. You can only ask, can't you?
No, do numbers, though. Do really well.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine really that. Good.
Yeah.
Good old Lizzie on a pod. Interesting.
Funny image, isn't it? I think she might be
good. Incest or of...
Well, both. Yeah.
That combined Liz... Yeah.
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 It's something, isn't it?
It has happened. I'd love a special on X-Men. I'd love to see some more or hear some more human mutation. That would be good for me.
We've got a Wolverine coming up, actually. Yeah, we're going to do a Wolverine, I think, come out in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Can you give me a little bit of a...
Just started reading about it. Do you know what? No, because I haven't read enough. I couldn't give you any, but I think it'll be worth the wait. I think it's going to be a good one. Okay. It's just all about, you know, rapid regeneration. Don't think we're going to be putting adamantium in our into our skeletons just yet. Sorry. But rapid regeneration, sure.
That's impressive. And I think that there's a lot of humans out there that can do really impressive things. And I'm not just talking about the Yuri Gellers that are, you know, fate bending forks or real bending forks, however you feel about it. But there's humans out there that can, that have mutated and can do some real interesting things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the question is whether you agree with the idea of trying to breed in those mutations that we feel are beneficial. And this is, you know, one of the biggest challenges that science faces at the moment is we are getting to a point, which we were never at before, where our ability to manipulate genetic material is getting to be good enough that we can start selecting traits. Nothing too interesting at the moment because it's too complicated and controlled by too many genes, so we don't quite understand how they're all interacting. But with the current technology and the use of kind of machine learning and AI, we will get to a point, I'm fairly certain we will get to a point where you can sort of, you can certainly be going to your doctor and having a conversation about the sort of characteristics you'd like to see in your child. And that's a pretty big deal because it just opens up. I mean, it's kind of a nightmarish scenario, I think, because I think, you know, people would go for that, and they probably shouldn't, because it feels like it's going to give you, because first of all, obviously, that is only going to be available to rich people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're going to see sort of entrenched inequality as yeah. rich people are making their offspring like yeah. superhuman. Yeah. I mean, it's horrible. It's,
yeah.
But it's and quite possibly
Russia's Olympic teams as well.
Yeah, I mean, they barely need the help, do they? I mean,
yeah, but if you combine the power of gene mutation and all the steps, bruv, you might end up with a Wolverine.
Have you watched Icarus?
Yes, yes, I have. And,
oh, man.
I actually listened to the episode on Scientist this morning at the gym. Good motivation at the gym, actually. Yeah, thinking, yeah, fucking yeah. hell, if I'm struggling with this, it's because I'm doing it the clean way, yeah. right? I mean, I'm doing it the legit way, that's why. What a nuts doc, like.
I've never seen a doc like that. And it's the guy who's made it has lucked out in the most extraordinary way, because initially you're like, yeah, fine. I'm mildly interested in whether EPO is going to help you be better at cycling. And then, but the result was, no, not really. But then, coincidentally, you get to be mates with the main, like, probably the best character I've seen in any documentary, for starters, but the main drugs yeah. guy in Russia
yeah.
running their doping. And he's sort of quite cool about talking to you.
He's so cash. I mean, without throwing out too much, because I think it's definitely, like you said, it's a doc I reckon could have been shelved. If it didn't take that turn, yeah, it would have just been a straight to, yeah. I don't know, the depths
Netflix
of the internet.
Aren't buying that, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting one, you're maybe getting a screening at your mate's film festival and then you're out.
Yeah, more like a screening at your house. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, one of those ones. Yeah. Once you whip out at Christmas, everyone's like, oh, God, don't
again.
Not Icarus. God, Dad, please. But yeah, man, that's, I suppose, as humans, we've been genetically modifying creatures all the time. That dogs, like I look at some dogs now, mm-hmm. and I just feel sorry for some breeds of dogs. We bred the shit out of them. They can't see properly.
Yeah.
They can't breathe. And we do that for fun. Like,
yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah,
no
yeah.
other reason. These aren't dogs that are hunting for us. They're not rounding up sheep. They're just fucking for fun.
I honestly, I hate that stuff. Like, I can't believe that we think it's sort of all right. Like, people, no one talks about it. Everyone's just like, cool, dog breeding is cool. Yeah, yeah. Look at that funny looking dog. Oh, that dog can barely breathe.
Yeah.
Isn't it cute?
Isn't it cute?
Like, yeah. What are you talking about? This is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really not into it.
Yeah.
At all.
I reckon if it's out there and available for us, yeah. we're going to start doing it.
Yes, I think we probably will, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of CRISPR. That's
yeah.
what it is. That's where CRISPR's. They basically can cut up DNA. Really, like, you know, they don't go in with scissors, like, but they can use chemicals to cut yeah, DNA yeah. really well.
And like. Then, so you can extract a gene, you can put in a gene, you can alter a gene. Soon we're going to be to a point where we can. So it used to be that we thought that your genome was the be all and the end all. So that's the thing that governs everything about you. And that's half true, but actually, it's more your thing called your epigenome, because all of your genes can kind of be turned on or off, and so controlling that is really will be the ultimate goal, probably, and we will be able to do that, I think. So happy days. Freaks everywhere.
Insane. Look, I'm looking forward to that X-Men episode, mate. And by the way, it's quite apparent to me now that you guys really get stuck in, read around and write. Like, this isn't a podcast where they're just, here's your script, read it out, because you've got a nice voice. Crack
no,
up.
No. I don't think it would work. It would just be, I think it would be a very different thing. Like, my favourite element of the podcast, almost, apart from the actual recording of it, is just, I spend a day and I read everything I can about a subject, and I'm a geek, you know, that's the truth of it. I love it, and I read more than I need to, because I just get into it.
Yeah. And you it also comes across that you're someone who's quite good at explaining complicated shit, which is what you know, if I'm going to tell somebody what you do on a podcast, you take an idea in a film that's very simplified, let us know how complex it is,
yeah.
and then kind of tell us the truth about it, but then resimplify it for the everyday person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the aim. I mean, as someone who loves science, I get a bit vexed that there's not much science content out there that I enjoy. Sorry, that's not true. There's not much on telly. There's very little science TV that I think is any good. I think it's often either sort of patronising or just dull. And I'm like, how are you making this stuff dull? this stuff is so cool and so like weird and mad. And yet you're managing to strip all the life out of it. And so, yeah, what we're trying to do, and actually there's lots of people who do a great job of science stuff on YouTube. Like YouTube's where it's the only place really where I watch science content apart from other podcasts. But TV, no, they just don't get it right for whatever reason. And so we're really enthusiastic about trying to, we're just trying to make people love science in the way that we love science, which is just that thing of like, oh, what? That's mental.
Mm.
And then talking about it.
Sick. Do you reckon there's legs for a TV show on that one?
I don't know really, because I don't know where you'd put it. Also, it's probably a nightmare for clips, isn't it? Paying film companies money.
Yeah.
For us to then slightly mug them off. Like, I don't know.
yeah. And then loads of fucking CGI to explain the complex stuff that actually happens that you made up half of the film around as well.
Yeah. I think it feels like it's an expensive proposition.
Yeah. All right. We'll bin that then.
Yeah.
I was looking for my 10%.
Yeah. Of course you were.
Yeah.
You're a businessman.
Yeah. Of course. Got to get mine, man.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So yeah, like I said, you explain stuff real well. So I watched a TEDx talk as well where you kind of spoke about young people not voting, should we say, which was a few years back now, but it still kind of resonates today more than ever.
Yeah. It sort of, honestly, it just makes me feel quite sad, all of it. I got really very into the youth engagement in politics, or rather the lack of it.
Yeah.
Because I was doing a politics show for the BBC, effectively Question Time for young people. And in the course of that, you know, you just start, you know, and I've never been that politically engaged. I've always been like, it wasn't the kind of thing that I was chatting about with my friends particularly, you know, when I was a kid. My mum and dad not really either. It just sort of passed me by. I was kind of new a bit, but for doing this show, obviously I've started to absorb a lot more. And the main thing I realized is that young people were just getting a really rough deal, and the reason they were getting a rough deal is because they're not voting. And so then I started trying to think about why that was and what potential solutions would be, which is why I did the TEDx, to sort of present some ideas that might help. And then I wrote a book that was kind of a call to arms, really, to young people, just say, look, this is why actually it'd be better if you did vote, because otherwise you're going to get screwed over, which is what's happening. And here's as much information set out in a simple way so you can make a decision. Like, I've got no interest in telling people how to vote, because there's plenty of people out there who do that, and that's not me. Also, I don't affiliate strongly with any particular party anyway, so you know, I've always tried to be quite neutral, and just say, look, make your own mind up. But the thing that I realized when I was talking to kids about it, and kids who weren't engaged at all, their thing was not, we can't be bothered. It was just, well, I don't really know anything about this. Like, we don't really get taught it in schools. So where do you find this information? And that's actually why I wrote the book. I was like, it's true. I don't know. I didn't have an answer to that. I didn't know where you could go, because obviously we go online. I mean, it's just a fuck fest out there. Like, how do you know what to trust? How do you know what's true? Like, particularly now. So I was trying to, do the best job I could of just setting out the kind of basics and where the parties kind of stood, which, to be honest, was easier then than it is now. I mean, now it's such a mess.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that at school there are no lessons on some of the most important knowledge that you require as an adult moving through life? So
yeah.
Not just politics, we're talking about, well, this is related to taxes, business, finance. These things are just not delivered at all, if they are, in just such a small portion, It's just, what's the point?
It's always delivered in a way that feels like a sort of afterthought as well. And you get the sense when you're in those lessons that it isn't important. People are just like, oh, this doesn't matter. It's not an exam in this, that doesn't matter then.
Yeah.
It's not given the weight that it deserves. I think particularly now, actually, as you say about taxes, because so many people are going into freelance work, and so you're going to have to do your own taxes.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare navigating that stuff. Like, people should just be taught about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know lots of people who've been really stung, not because they've been trying to, avoid tax, but they just don't really quite understood what they're into. It doesn't get touched on, I don't think, in schools.
Yes, it's insane. So, yeah, man, I appreciate somebody out there that's kind of just trying to add, like you said, you're just trying to add a layer of knowledge or, like, make it accessible in some sort of way. And is your book, is it none of the above? Is that?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Because one of the things I said in the TEDx talk is actually it would be very useful, I think, if you had a none of the above box on the ballot paper so that you could say, look, I'm engaging with the political process. I just don't feel represented by any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem with not voting is, and lots of people don't vote for all sorts of reasons, but you do just get written off as not caring, because it's easy for politicians to do that. So if they look and say, oh, only 45% of young people or whatever bother to vote, 55% of them can't be arsed, they don't care. Now, in my sort of anecdotal experience, and actually if you look at studies, that isn't true, but it's very easy to say, and it kind of sounds plausible as well. You're like, well, if they can't be bothered to vote, then we don't really need to worry about them, do we? Whereas if you've got a large number of people in there who are just thinking, well, I can't vote for any of these clowns, and you give them an option to express that, I think it would be really useful. And also, I would think about, compulsory voting. And if you were introducing that, then you have to give people the option not to. You can't force people to vote for one of those people on offer.
Yeah. Are there countries where there is compulsory voting?
Yeah. There's quite a few, actually. Yeah. And there's kind of, there's mixed feedback on what that does in terms of political engagement. But generally, you do see, obviously, a surge in turnout. And as soon as you've got people, I think it's, voting's a habitual thing. If you vote the first time that you're able to vote, you are much more likely to then continue voting. So what I would do, and it's certainly not up to me, is I'd just have compulsory voting for the first time that you can vote, and then after that it's up to you. But I think that would give you enough of a kickstart. And also for young people,
it's a big deal as well.
You go from being a block that is quite insignificant to being a significant block, and therefore politicians just have to heed your needs a bit more. They just have to pay a bit more attention.
Yeah, there'd be rallying schools, wouldn't they, if it was like...
Yeah.
Fuck, you know. That's very interesting. So what I like about chatting with you, though, is the fact that I can go from that and just say the words fatberg, autopsy, just say, hey, switch that shit up. I think it's like...
I call Pedro. fatberg. Play us another tune, mate. Ding, ding, ding.
Play that tune. Fatberg.
He loves it. He does love it. He does.
Fuck, look. That looks like
pitchy. That's a tear of joy. Yeah.
I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, do you switch this up so that, because I feel like if you did go in that direction with everything you did,
yeah,
it can be quite depressing, right? So when something comes along like fatberg autopsy,
yeah,
that lands
yeah.
on your desk.
Yeah, and you just think, this is insane. Of course I want to do this.
Yeah.
And it was, it was exactly what it was. Insane. I think it was quite fun and sort of sobering. And absolutely, I think it's the only time I've nearly vomited on television. Once in the sewer, where I just sort of stood on a bit of, it's like the crust. There's a kind of fatty crust in the sewer, and the guy's like, "Don't stand on that." And I'm like, "Go on." And I just went through, and the fumes just sort of pour up. And I mean, I've never, my God, it puts like Portaloos at a festival to shame. Like this is kicking up something like you would not believe. So that was grim. The other time I nearly vomited on telly was when, for some reason, someone liquidised a roast dinner and made me drink it in front of Katy Perry. And you sort of think liquidised roast dinner should be fine.
I think that sounds like a good thing, no?
No, absolutely vile. Like, really hard to explain, because that's just what's happening in my mouth, right?
Yeah.
I'm just slowly liquidising and then...
Yeah.
But, oh, Jesus. I mean, it didn't help that Katy Perry was just sort of looking at me like, why is he doing that? And I didn't have an answer. Yeah. And I can't remember what I was.
Was that closer to the T4 days then, yeah?
That was firmly in the T4 days, yeah. So, you just find yourself doing some very weird shit.
Yeah. So from doing weird shit to stepping on big crusts of shit. I mean, you look a bit nauseous just mentioning that.
Yeah. It was an eye opener and a nose damager. Absolutely vile, but also a genuinely big problem. Like, because when I first started talking to people about it, they were like, "Oh, which are you? So you're doing that big Whitechapel fatberg, the one that got all of the press?" And I was like, "No, I think actually it's another one. I think there's another one down by the South Bank we're doing." And it was. And then you talk to the guys who are down the sewers trying to get rid of this stuff, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I mean, there's fatbergs everywhere. Like, there's not, like, there's huge ones all over London in pretty much every major city, and we just can't get through them quickly enough." Like, I was with them for like the entire night. So they start about 10 and finish at sort of 4 or 5 or something, and they are hacking away like. They're just down there, just wearing some goggles. One guy got some in his eye. I was just like, "Mate,
fuck.
Wear your goggles."
He was he was down there with no
face. I don't know why. I mean, he's an idiot, though, to be honest. But
surely you have to go and get a full set of broad spectrum antibiotics in your eye.
I mean, they're like, you know, they're washing it all out, and he's taking this. I mean, horrible business. But they're just hacking away at this solid. Sort of fecal detritus, and they, in that sort of 6 hours, they got through about, I think it was about 3 meters, and this thing's maybe like a kilometer long, and there's loads of them, and you just can't. it's really grim.
So just to clear this up, in case the listener isn't aware of where fatbergs come from, like what creates. What there's a few things. What a few of the things that create this disgusting fatberg?
The main thing is wet wipes, actually. Mm. So wet wipes don't break down in the sewers. Or some do, but most don't. And they just sort of accumulate waste on them. So it's kind of fat and oil, like cooking oil is a real problem as well. Like if you've just done a bit of frying in your pan, then pouring that little bit of oil, that's not helping matters. And it all kind of slowly solidifies and then just blocks the sewer. And they're huge. Like they, you know, like I say, they can be, you know, the length of like 5 double-decker buses. Big, big old units.
And they don't
actually smell as bad. The actual fatbergs don't smell as bad as you think they're going to.
Because this is what I wanted to ask you. Because like, there's points when you take it and you break it down basically on camera and you're going through it, and there's points when you're like wearing all of the, like, you know, the hazmat suit.
Looking sick, right?
Bro, I can't lie. Looking very Breaking Bad there. Very good. We're gonna cook, bitch. But like, you're breaking up and you hold. There's like a picture of you like holding a piece of fat. I call it fat shit, fatberg.
Yeah.
And you've not got a mask on, and I'm like, has his nose just stopped working because there's so much shit around you? Do you become desensitized? What is it?
It's partly, well, firstly, I don't have a great sense of smell. That made me ideal for the
job. Perfect for the job.
And secondly, the actual Fattenberg doesn't stink of shit. It's sort of got a weird, it's got a sickly, almost like sweet smell. I couldn't place it. Like, it doesn't smell like anything else I've ever smelled. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like shit. It's all basically saponified. It's kind of slowly turning into a kind of rank soap. So there's a business idea.
Rank soap.
Yeah.
Anyone for rank soap? Hey, Rico. Yeah. Got an interesting fragrance. Going?
Well, you know, I've actually quit all the presenting because I'm just marketing this rank soap.
Here, do you want to try some? Very big eye opener. I was an advocate of wet wipes, and once in a while I may use one as a little treat.
Absolutely fine to use a wet wipe.
Just don't flush them.
But just don't flush them. Just stick them in the bin. And then you're all right. Do not flush them. I was surprised that people were flushing them, to be honest. I just had always assumed that wasn't really but then I did talk to a couple of people in a shopping centre, and they were going into some detail about how they clean themselves up. And they were definitely going straight down the toilet. And I could sort of see why.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the whole job with wet wipes. They're not just finishing off.
Oh, wow. So they're using a few sheets.
Which is real. They're using like 5 or 6 sheets.
Quite luxurious.
Quite luxury, isn't it?
Yeah. Were they quite upper class people, would you say? Were they?
I would say, weirdly, no.
No, okay.
One guy said he was going through sort of 5 packs of wet wipes a week. I was like, mate, you've got a problem.
His ass must be squeaky
clean,
bro. This
is your fault. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the Fattenberg creator.
Yeah.
Well, there's a question that the producer Billy has told me not to ask in the year 2019, and he's shaking his head. I can tell out of the corner of my eyes. Oh, she does.
He actually looks quite excited.
Oh, he's quite excited.
There's something in his eyes.
I know what's about to come. So,
so we've asked throughout 2018, we found out that there were two groups of people that didn't realise that they existed. In fact, it actually further divided into subsections and groups, which we won't get stuck into.
Okay.
And one didn't know the other existed until I asked this question. Now, when you wipe your ass after you take a shit, good shit, think of a good one there. Like, you've had a good lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stay seated while you wipe, or do you stand up?
What the? Do I stand up? Are you mad? Are people doing that?
Yeah, man.
No. No.
Yep.
But you can't. That doesn't make any. No, absolutely, I'm not having it. Because apart from anything else, when I'm sat, like if I've got my legs a little bit apart, so I've got access to the anus, and also like everything's naturally just spreading out a bit, so my access is nice and clean. I'm in there, as you can see, I'm doing it now.
So I'm like,
and then I'm right down the gooch, and then straight down. But I'm standing up. Like, my cheeks are getting in the way. Like, I'm having to, like, what, manually part?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Not having it. Not having it at all. I'm not doing it. No. No.
I'm glad that you mimed it as you did it, because you kind of showed us the subsection as well. So you go for the front. You went down the front.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm not exclusively front. And I couldn't really tell you why that is. Like, sometimes I will go. I guess I'm a maverick.
freestyle, isn't it?
Sometimes I will go back. But I think normally I am. Yeah, I'm definitely approaching from the front.
Cool.
But I am 100% sat. What are you doing?
I'm wiping from the back. So I'm doing the lean. So I'm leaning over.
Are you leaning? The lean's helping because that's doing a bit of a part as well.
Exactly.
So yeah, I respect
right?
that.
Racky.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheeky look.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, though.
Yeah, right, yeah, down. Yeah. Going to need another packet of wet wipes there, please.
One of my 5 a week. Matt Richardson holds his balls up. And tidies up and then throws it down. So he holds his balls and his cock.
Do you know what?
Out of the way. Are you
So the beauty of my anatomy is that I've got quite small balls. So they're taking care of themselves.
I think that's evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the use of balls swinging around?
Just getting away. Yeah. Hitting the water if you're in America as well. Then you do. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Water's just too high over there. But that's a conversation for
I'll tell you what. What is one of these standing up animals, what are they doing on a sick Japanese toilet?
See, that's they're wasting
the whole,
it. Yeah,
yeah. They're just fucked. Standing up.
they're fucked. If they're on a Japanese toilet that... And Japanese toilet has the bidet in it, your fucking hair dryer, you know, fucking little comb comes out and combs your cheeks if you're hairy.
It's beautiful.
I reckon they're fucked because if they go there and get up and it still tries to do the automated stuff, they're just going to get pissing wet.
They're just going to get the backs of their knees wet and then dried off. I mean, yeah. Nah. Honestly,
yeah.
I'm genuinely disgusted.
What would you do if you found out you're in the room with a stander?
Billy?
yeah.
No.
Yes.
Did you shake his hand on the way in?
I'm taking it back. What? Hang on. But so talk me through it. Are you manually parting?
No.
So how are you accessing?
You just stand up and wipe.
No. That doesn't cut it. You cannot get the same kind of purchase or access without a manual part.
I've never had to part.
Do you think would you say that you probably have a slightly dirtier ass than most people as a consequence of this?
No. I wouldn't say that, no.
Well, I would. And I have. I just, at least look, for me, at least try doing it sitting down.
Am I reaching from the front or from the back?
You decide for yourself. But just try it and see how much better it is. Honestly, it's going to be a revelation. I'm improving your life here.
Wait, you should try standing up.
Fuck off. have you ever met anyone else who's in your tribe?
Yeah, there's been quite a few guests that have been with us as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like we've put it out there, and I mean, feel free to put it out as you can do the kind of voting on your social medias. Put it out there. We've seen like a 55-45 split.
Brexit team.
They're out there, bro.
I can't believe it.
They're out there. It could be related to Brexit, actually. Yeah, it could be
living among us.
Could be leavers.
Yeah. Leave?
Yeah.
Will you leave?
No. I was a Remainer.
Yeah, man. So, Fat Burger Autopsy. And glad that you're part of the sitting gang. But you're part of the subsection. You're the front. Well, you're like, we need to find out some code for it. But then I think we might be going too far with that.
Front sit gang.
Front sit gang.
I don't mind front sit gang.
Yeah, and I'm a back sit gang. And then you're a dirty boy, Billy. Yeah. Filthy.
Filth.
What have we got coming up for you? What's happening for you?
In the
got some more TV coming out.
Writing this book.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely got to be my priority for the next 9 weeks. And then,
in case the publishers are listening.
I'm going to be hard at work, guys. Don't you worry. And then I've got a thing out on Channel 5 at the moment. Weirdly, it's only available online, but then they're going to put it out so you can kind of binge watch it. A thing called Make or Break.
Yeah.
That is kind of relationship, like couples show where they go away to an island paradise and then try and work out whether they should be together or not.
And you fuck with them.
And I just take the piss out of them. Yeah. And it's excellent. Great. Job. Really, really good fun. And so that's out at the minute. And then we'll go out on Channel 5, I think, in April.
Yeah.
And then I've got a thing coming out on the History Channel in middle of March called River Hunters, where, as the name suggests, I just go and hunt in rivers for historical artifacts. And it's, I'm going to say, it's surprisingly good because if I'm honest, it's not a given there, is it? It's definitely not a given. Absolute shoo-in. That's going to be
I have a feeling when you got the email from your agent, you looked at the fee a couple of times.
Weirdly?
Yeah. I like rivers.
I wish that had happened. I did look at the fee, but not in a good way. I just thought, fuck it. That's probably quite good fun. And it genuinely was. It's quite addictive.
Yeah.
As soon as you find anything good, you're like, right, I'm going to find me some more. And you just keep on just grubbing it. I was grubbing around in rivers for 8 weeks and I enjoyed it.
And the geezer that you're with, I mean, the press shot for this, and we're going to put this on the social clip, the geezer you're standing next to in the press photo, he looks like he looks like he means business. Who is this guy?
Right, so
he looks like he's ready to go to war.
Best thing about this, best thing about this photo is, so just out of frame on the left is a very beautiful castle. And for some reason, a photographer has thought, I'm going to get that new build in the back for this historical show. Look at that. Look at that. we literally said to him, like, any interest in the castle, mate? And he's like, no, this is good. Yeah. And we're like, you sure?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was. He might have been looking at your co-host's face. I mean,
yeah. So he's he's called Bo. He's an American man. He's very odd. He wouldn't mind me saying that. And he loves river hunting. So he's got a YouTube channel where he just hunts in rivers in the States. He's got 1 million subscribers.
For river hunting. This is what I love just about the internet. Rooting,
yeah.
Fucking
you
love
can,
the internet
you
for
can
this.
Find groups of people who are into some very odd things. And he just makes videos just swimming around in rivers and finding shit. And that is what he does. And he makes a decent living out of it.
Really?
So he's come over to the UK, and the idea is that basically I'm just holding his hand and right. saying, look, this is the kind of thing we have in the UK. What do you reckon? And he likes it.
All right, so this is really Bo's show, and you're just facilitating
Bo. Yeah, I'm just sort of welcoming to the country and saying, enjoy yourself, mate.
Yeah, whatever, Rick. Where's the rivers, man?
Yeah. he found the experience, I think, quite odd, because he's used to just going out. He's quite a solitary guy, lives on a sort of ranch in 10 acres, goes out and searches in rivers for days on end on his own, just with his camera filming stuff. And so filming a TV show, it's obviously quite a different kind of setup because there's a lot of people around, and he found it quite full on.
Yeah.
His main complaint was not enough time in the rivers. We were in the rivers constantly. I was like, what do you mean not enough time? Like, we've been in it for literally hours. Yesterday, we're in a river for hours. Tomorrow, we're going to be in a river for hours. He's like, yeah, I just need more time. Like, he loves it.
Boda River Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a river hunter by name, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he does what you expect.
Got to be hunting in those rivers. I mean, I could just imagine a party being there. Like, what do you do? I'm a river hunter.
Mm.
Fuck it. Whoa.
Yeah, it's got a certain ring, hasn't it?
I've not heard him speak yet, but I just feel like he's got a really gritty American voice. Please tell me it's not like a, hey guys.
No. It's what you want. His catchphrase is before you go under, he just goes, hold your breath. and then I laugh hysterically. But I think what was amazing about it is that is his actual catchphrase. I'm not done with any irony. And only over the course of the show has he realised it's funny. And sort of playing up to it.
I bet he says that to Mrs. Bo.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Well, she says it to him.
Yeah. So, River Hunter's coming up.
Yeah.
Wicked, man. Look forward to that. Anything else you want to let us know about in the meantime? Or?
No, I think that's it. And then, hang on. Yes, I do a quiz show for the BBC, and we've just done a load more of them. And I don't know when they're going to be going out, and we've done some more celebrity specials for Saturday night on BBC One. So they'll be, I guess, out soon-ish, but I don't know when. One thing I can tell you is we had Sean Ryder on, and he is an advert for the effects of living a high life. when you were filming in the morning, you couldn't really get shots of him because he was just asleep.
Fuck.
Absolutely fucked.
So he's a
very nice guy. Absolutely fucked.
Lived that party life.
Oh my God. Yeah, like he would not believe.
You know when you look at someone and you're like, fuck it, you've got tales to tell.
Yeah.
One of those ones, right?
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah. All right. A couple of more things before I let you get out of here.
Go on.
This show is called How to Kill an Hour. We like to ask the guests how they kill time. So when you're not writing about science, you know, hunting rivers, breaking up fatbergs, wiping your ass from the front, you know, what are you doing? It's implied that you take really long shits or wipe for ages, but you know.
But actually, do you know what? It's not bad, is it? Just when you realize you've got a bit of time and you can just enjoy yourself.
I love taking my time when I'm having a shit. I think there's nothing great. There's not like rushing a shit.
Right,
that's not cool.
No. Take your time, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, read a book.
Actually, so what I do is I play online backgammon. That's my kind of go-to. I've got a bit of time. I just want to like enjoy myself in an uncomplicated way. I really love backgammon. And sometimes I'll do that during the process as well. also, like any time that I should be a much better answer, but not a truthful answer would be, just read a book. But when I've just got a bit of time on the tube or the bus or whatever, I'm straight onto my online backgammon. I get through a lot of online backgammon.
What's that world like out there? Is there money to be made, or is it just for fun?
Do you know what? I think there is a bit of money to be made. Like, I went and played in a international backgammon tournament in Copenhagen, and there is a bit of money out there. There is definitely money, because they're an interesting crew, the backgammon players, because they slightly look down on chess players, because chess is, I don't really play chess, in fact I just don't play at all, and chess is just brute intellect. If the geezer is better than you at chess, he will beat you every time. So it doesn't really appeal to gamblers or risk takers, because there's no,
it's not sexy, not really.
Whereas backgammon, if I played the world number one backgammon player, I could beat him in a game just by a bit, getting a little bit lucky. I mean, you know, he or she would absolutely own me over a number of games, of course. But you can take a chunk out of them, and that for me is very appealing. But it does mean that you get people who they're effectively gamblers. So this tournament took place in a hotel that had a casino underneath it, and so they'd finish playing and they'd go straight down to the casino. That's the kind of guys. Like, there's a guy who was the sort of regarded as the best backgammon player in the world for a while, called Falafel, and he would do stuff.
Great food,
like,
great name.
I think actually, truth be told, it's probably a like slightly racist nickname, but he's gone with it. I think he was just like, he was in New York and he was from the Middle East.
Listen, I went to school where you got all sorts of fucking nicknames.
Falafel. You take Falafel, you've got to go, do you know what? That's all right. That's
when
tight.
I went to school, that's light.
Falafel, yes, please, yes, please. Call me Falafel. Thank you.
That's diet racist from my school,
But he, and so he'd like win, you know, I don't know, 25 grand, 50 grand or whatever playing backgammon, and then he'd go down, lose it all in a casino, and then just sleep on the casino floor. It's that sort of thing. And that's like, at the time, the world number one at this game. And that's what he's doing. And that's how he's living.
Rockstar.
I like that vibe. And so all of these, you know, the tournament's going on, and there's prize money at the tournament anyway. But then aside from that, there's all these little side games and little side hustles that people are having. And so, and there is a lot of money changing hands. And I was too green, I was too nervous to get involved. If I go back again, it'll take me some money and see what happens.
Make sure that casino's got comfy carpet as well, just in case.
Take a little pillow. Take some wet wipes.
I'm going to leave you with something else today, because I feel like you've left us with the image of many things today, actually. I feel like it's been quite a graphic podcast with regards to the scope of things that you've done as a presenter. But
the thing I've got really is, I'm wondering how Pedro wipes his ass. That's going to be my main. Google image search.
I'll just say fuck it.
He's getting hoisted, isn't he? He's going to get hoisted.
I'm going.
Yeah, maybe
to step
he's
back.
An assisted stand up.
Because I'm thinking,
he's one of your mum.
Yeah, because I'm thinking beforehand going to the toilet. You're like, if you're 95,
he's probably, you know what? He's not going. Right. You're right. It's all just getting. Just sort of
fuck knows.
Pumped away somehow, isn't it? Yeah. There's something set up down there.
95 though. Stone.
It's too much.
Oh yeah,
I was doing him a favour. Good. When I was like 50, I was like, it can't be 50 though, can he? No, he can't. He's double that.
Fucking hell.
You must get to a point though when you sort of tip 50 and you go, all right, let's see how far this can go. Let's see what I've got.
Let's put a foot to the floor and let's push it to the max.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
He's probably, truth be told, he's probably gutted that he hasn't got to 100. That's got to be the target.
Don't do it, Pedro. Don't do it.
He's on a diet. Yeah, yeah. He's on a little diet. Slim down to 89. Oh, you're looking good, mate.
Fucking hell. Fuck. Pedro, shout out to Pedro, man.
He's listening.
Guinness World Record holder. What a world record to have as well. I mean, if he told you held a world record, you're probably going to guess.
I think
what
so.
That
it's
is.
Not going to be. Oh, did you?
Guitar, fastest fingers.
Was it bathe in the beans? Was it bathe in the beans for the longest? No, you fucking ate it.
By the way, you
were going to leave me with something.
So, you're a guy that's been on the TV, get approached a lot. People must say, oh, yeah, well, I've seen you doing this, seen you doing that. Something came up that was quite interesting. I was just having a chat with a couple of my girlfriends about what I was getting up to this week. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Might be chatting to Rick on a podcast.
Yeah.
And one of them went, "Poor, yeah." Which I'm sure you've heard before. Uh-huh. And I went, "Yeah, his mouth." I mean, what she went, "Size of his mouth. Poor, yeah."
I've got a big mouth, actually. Yeah.
That's exactly. She said, "He's got a big mouth. Poor, that's a bit of me." And I was like, I've never heard that before. And then her friend was like, "Really?" And then she proceeded to, the friend one, proceeded to go on the internet and go, "Yeah, check this. It's got a picture of you." And the other one went, "Oh, that's a bit, that's a good mouth, that."
I've got to say, I've not heard it. I mean, I've got a big mouth before, but I've never heard it sort of billed as this is a good thing.
I'm just saying, it's doing things out there, it's doing bits out there. Big mouth.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
I mean, the mind boggles, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think on Instagram, if you do things like take a bite of an apple and show how much of an apple you've eaten, that might be a fetish for that. You could have a million followers like Bo on YouTube, just ASMR, eating stuff with your big mouth.
Just taking the whole thing down. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Yeah. Taking the lot. Taking the whole load.
Gagging on an apple. like.
If I get enough likes next week, melon.
Yeah. Because I would imagine that's... Well, I don't know. No, I suppose... okay. I'm trying to work out why it would be good. I'm thinking more for the fellas. They might be thinking, lovely.
Well...
I suppose it depends.
Yeah. It's not just mouth work though, is it? It's the rest though, isn't it, really? It's not just size of mouth when it comes to
No.
There's way more. There's a lot of factors. Techniques and gag reflexes. But
how's yours?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be good. I'm the sort of guy that tongue scraping in the morning.
Sure.
Got to be easy with that, mate.
Sure.
Yeah.
I need to get a tongue scraper, actually.
It's pretty
easy
good
for me to say. Yeah. Tongue scraper. There
tongue
we go.
Scraper. You need like a big one, apparently.
Absolutely, honestly. Yeah. Industrial size. Yeah.
Walk into the chemist.
What's the biggest one you've got?
One of your biggest tongue scrapers.
Yeah, I'm not sure that'd go down well if you start like slobbering on the desk. What size do you think I need for this?
Oh, man. But yeah, no, thanks for coming down to Hard to Kill an Hour.
No, that was very enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, I've laughed a lot and I've learned a lot.
I feel like we've learned about each other. I mean, you've learned about a style of shitting.
Style of cleaning, I suppose, isn't it?
I don't think it's very clean, but, you know.
Oh, no. Dirty boy. You're a dirty boy, Billy.
Oh, actually, super quick, we'll squeeze this one in.
Yeah,
did you hear the article about the man that managed to suffocate a mountain lion?
Do you know what? I saw the headline and couldn't quite bring myself to read it because I felt like I was going to be annoyed that he'd suffocated a mountain lion. Because was it that he got attacked?
He was.
And then got it in a headlock. And that is impressive. But I feel bad for the lion.
I feel very bad for the lion because it was a juvenile lion, right? So he was going for a run. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the only reasons why he survived. Mm. Going for a run, Canadian fella. And he said from the corner of his eye, didn't have his headphones in that day, lucky. And he said he saw the lion growling at him. He made himself big and go, "Argh."
Mm.
The lion jumped on him, the mountain lion. And they had a 10-minute fight. 10 minutes of this lion clawing into his back. And he said he managed to fight it off, get a foot over its neck and choke it out, right? I read a little bit more around this. And that lion weighed 40 pounds. That lion weighed like...
Hang on.
40 pounds. It was a juvenile lion and it managed to attack a fully grown man. And I was just, of all things, I was impressed that this mountain lion could be that weight. And I was reading around 40 pounds. I was like, really? 40 pounds?
Yeah.
Could be that weight and attack a man.
But is that a bit like me saying I could choke out my cat?
Yeah.
I've got less and less respect for this guy, actually. Surely at some point, the lion is just going to run off. Like, why does he need to... I'm very much an animal lover, and I disapprove and I'm happy to go on the record of saying this, I disapprove of people choking out lions.
We'll edit that, even and, if they've and been Rick attacked. Just said he approves.
Yeah. I love animal cruelty. Why isn't there more of it?
Could you just say I do?
Yeah.
I do a few times. We'll edit. I do animal cruelty to my cat. But yeah, no, cheers for joining us on Out to Kill an Hour. Where can our listeners find you online? Where are you most active? Where do you feel like you're doing bits? On your missus Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. She yeah. does a great job of my PR for me. Yeah. Twitter at Rick Edwards 1. Don't know who got at Rick Edwards. Prick. Still annoys me. And same on Instagram. And cool. That's it. I've never quite got my head around Instagram. I think I'm quite bad at it. And you just have to accept that.
Let's have a quick look.
Yeah, it's not. You're not going to be impressed, I don't think.
Let's have a quick look. We'll do this, and then it really will be the end of the show because you've been here and we've had a good old chat. Rick Edwards 1. Let's give it a squirt.
Oh, I wonder if my parking's run out.
Oh shit! That wouldn't be a good end to the episode. Oh, it's your missus. Oh, that's all right. You just.
Oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah. That's fine, isn't it?
Oh, that's fine. It's nice and nothing to report about that. Anyway, plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Rick's got to not get a parking ticket because that wouldn't be a good end to today. Thank you for killing some time with us. Make sure you sign up to the newsletter on the website. howtokillanhour.com/news is where you can get it. In the meantime, thank you for killing some time with us.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. I enjoyed that.
Peace out, bro.
Not going to shake your hand, Billy, obviously. Sick fuck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.